It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's much better. Yeah, you guys missed an exciting second and a half where we didn't have the microphones on, but we were recording. So
probably the best radio we've ever done.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was like 7 episode 12s all rolled into 1.5 seconds.
Yep.
Welcome to the Great White North. And this time I am not making a Mackenzie joke. I'm saying it's fucking cold.
It's pretty cold. Pretty cold.
Oh, holy crap. Right now, I mean, I was ecstatic when I went out Tuesday morning to go to the gym, and it was like 17. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So warm.
Yep.
It is currently, I just checked a minute ago, I believe it is 6 currently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're in a process of slowly warming up, culminating on Sunday where we're going to get precipitation, but it's going to be like 34. That's awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah, but then it's going to totally drop it. So, hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that is a non-meat source of complete protein.
Mm-hmm.
I am Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 356.
356. Yep. And that's one of those numbers that like sounds like it should be of significance, but I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
I'm thinking of 256.
That's significant.
It is. It's a power of 2.
Oh.
And it shows up in data storage.
I see.
Back in the day. Nowadays we're all with the gigs and the jigs and the megs and the yachts and the zets and all that. But back in the day, you could have something that was like 256 kilobytes. It was very exciting. Very exciting.
Okay.
Yeah. Producer isn't here right now, so watch out for that.
Watch out for that.
For those of you just joining us for the first time ever, what an odd time to come into this. Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks like yourselves, cool folks, neat folks, folks who want to help us right now because the hat may be getting very, very low on questions, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, things like that. And please do it again. Like I said, getting low. The hat magically, all on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. We, its email servants, draw those note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
You like my Jedi robe look on here?
Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's what I always think of when a hooded robe. I always think of Jedi robes. They weren't usually navy blue.
No. But that's all right.
This is actually a birthday or Christmas present from last year. But I've been wearing it a lot because, as we've established, it's been fucking cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, wow, it's been a while. It's been like 3 weeks, right?
Maybe, because we'd had to pre-record for the Christmas or...
Yeah, and then we had the mystery last week.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's been 3 weeks.
But this is our... This is...
Oh yeah, this is the first one of 2018.
First of 2018, that's
Holy
right.
Holy crap, how is it that I have not written or typed the date so far this year? I haven't done it.
I don't think I have either.
Because I would totally have messed that up. I've selected it from drop-down calendars.
Oh, I see.
But I haven't written it or typed it.
Huh. Well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thanks for still listening in
2018. Yes, assuming you are. Everybody just decided, my New Year's resolution, no more. Somebody asked me the other day. No, actually, I'm going to lie. Well, I'm not lying. I was starting to lie. Somebody asked me if I had New Year's resolutions, and I said no. Somebody else did not ask me, but I told them about a New Year's resolution that I had come up with. Oh. So in my head, I conflated those two. I've come up with a New Year's resolution. Is this year, every relationship noun, like friend, you know, male person, server, associate,
gotcha,
those kind of things. I am, when it's my, when I'm saying my, whatever that is, mm-hmm, I'm going to do it a la Borat and my wife. So all the time, I'm like, yeah, he's my coworker, like all the time. And what I assume is I'll be murdered by March.
By March? Boy, you're thinking people are really going to be understanding.
Yeah. I'm hedging my bets a little bit. I figure at first people just will not talk to me.
That's true. There would be a period of that, yeah.
But as we all know, that never stops me.
what I think you're underestimating is how soon the period will set in where they're considering hiring someone else to murder you.
That's a good point. I'm not willing to disregard the idea that my friends might kill me sooner, much, much sooner.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that one of my associates will kill me by March.
Okay, well, we'll see. The rest of us will place bets.
Yes.
I think my bet's going to be a lot sooner.
I feel like William's threatening me. It's only for relationships, though. Like, I don't say it with, like, if I say my podcast. See? Normal.
Okay.
But if I say my podcast partner, then, you know, then it happens.
And your cats.
Also, just to sort of dovetail with that, going to be way more anti-Semitic this year.
I don't think so. I don't think that's a good idea.
See, there are worse things.
And besides that, if you do that on the podcast, then I get pulled into it. So, like, I don't care if people...
For a great nation of Kazakhstan.
I don't care if people come to your house and throw things at your house because you're being anti-Semitic.
I haven't seen
this movie
in years. I have no idea what put it back in my head to start doing this crap. But we did see it when it happened. I think I probably talked about it here because we've been here forever.
Maybe, I don't...
And it was both less funny and less offensive than I was expecting. Oh. It was just dumb. Mm-hmm. It also doesn't age real well, but... So, how was your 3 weeks? Your 3 weeks!
We had a white Christmas. That was nice.
Yeah, we did. He means snow. Nowadays, I feel like it's safer to specify. After.
Jazz sent me a nice gift. She sent me the first two volumes of the Bombshells DC trades. They're good. Really,
I've never read them. I know of them, and there's a I have a friend who has a poster based on them.
They're very good. I mean, it was a smart move on DC's part to get women to like write them and draw them. I mean, men are working on them too, but primarily the team is a female leadership team and so on. I think that was a smart move. The stories, they were like, out of all, it's a trade, so there's like two trades, so like two volumes, so it's like maybe 20 issues or something, and there was maybe a couple of the stories which weren't bad, they just didn't resonate with me personally, and there was one issue where I didn't care for the art, but the rest of it was just really good. The stories were great, the characterizations were great. I'm not sure they succeeded much in subverting, well, let me put it this way, if the whole Bombshells thing had started, okay, we're going to write a comic book, and it's going to be set in the 40s, and it's going to be an alternate reality, and it's going to be the female heroes, and this and that's going to happen. I have a feeling that from all of the stuff they decided to do, and the stories they decided to do, and the associations they decided to have the heroes have, that they probably would have made their costumes a little different. I don't think the costumes they came up for the statues or whatever came first. It seems like something else came first.
I don't remember.
Well, anyway, the whole bombshell concept for like the art and the
This isn't about empty bomb casings.
The art and the statues is to make them look like 40s pinups, you know. And that's hit or miss as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I've, you know, as far as the statues and stuff goes, that's some of my thought were pretty neat. I thought Wonder Woman's was pretty good, actually, because it's kind of modeled after the Rosie the Riveter kind of thing. Some of the other ones I wasn't sure about. But as you're reading the comic book, again, they're so good. But sometimes you look at what a particular hero is wearing and you think, no, that just wouldn't, that just doesn't fit with the story or the character. But she has to look that way because that's what the statue looks like, or that's what the poster looks like, or whatever they did first. Particularly like Supergirl and Stargirl, who they have probably the best story, those two. Just fantastic. And most of the time it's not distracting, but sometimes you're looking at what they're wearing and you're thinking, nope, that's just not, that wouldn't, they only dress that way because that's what the statues look like. But, I mean, I recommend it. I think the stories are just great. And so I thank Jazz for sending those. And I got some other books and stuff for Christmas and that. But we went to my brother's house. Usual things. Not a lot to talk about
in Alaska.
No, in Ankeny, my youngest brother. And his stepkids were there and stuff, which was fun. It's always fun to be around kids Christmas time. And, you know, we spent New Year's just by ourselves, and that was fine. We were perfectly okay with that. We got Battlefront 2.
Ooh.
Because my older brother's been really wanting to play games online, you know, with me and my wife. And so we finally got PS4 or whatever subscription. But we don't know what we're going to play, because we're not really that interested in Injustice, and we have, I guess, the Uncharted games have online and stuff, so we might try that. But anyway, it's some, I forget which day it was.
Wait, is this the PlayStation Plus subscription?
Yeah.
Okay, so make sure you get all the free games. There's a bunch of free games every month.
Yeah, I mean, my wife's been checking that out.
And I just grab them all, because you don't have to download them. You just put them in your library.
Right, that's right, that's right. But anyway, so one of those days, my brother contacted me, and so we tried to play Battlefront. And it turned out it didn't work out very well. I think we tried to play...
Battlefront 2.
Yeah, Battlefront 2, sorry. So then we tried to play the Uncharted game, but we had to update our file, and it was updating really slowly, so we didn't get around to that. I think once everything is square for Uncharted, we'll be able to play that, and it'll be fun. But there's a campaign in Battlefront 2. I don't remember there being one in the original Battlefront. Do you?
I didn't play it, so I have no idea.
I don't think there was one.
I've played very few Star Wars games. Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 was mostly it.
Well, you know, the thing about the original Battlefront, as far as we were concerned, is it seems like it was just fighting or you know, going into a battle or something. There was no real story, which that didn't really interest us. I mean, one of the things we like about Star Wars is, yeah, the action's fine, but that's not the thing we like about Star Wars. We like the story. The action stuff's just, you know, frosting on the cake. And if playing a game and there's no story, it's just the battles or whatever, that doesn't really interest us. But Star Wars, the Battlefront 2 has a campaign. It's kind of weak, and it's not very long, but it was interesting in some ways. So we played that, but now my wife's done with it, and she's not sure what else she's going to do with this game that we bought, because she's not interested in some of the other things. But I noticed you're playing Mass Effect, right?
Yes.
Okay. But that's all that game and those books, basically, and that's about it, I think. Well, we saw Last Jedi a couple times, and that was interesting. But what about you probably have a lot to talk about after 3 weeks.
Well, Christmas was fairly uneventful. Watched a lot of holiday movies. None directly by choice, but some tolerated and some suffered. a lot of them. Didn't really get anything for Christmas that like jumps out as a big thing to talk about per se. New Year's was fine. It was pretty tame. It was the same thing. We had the party in my friend's basement. We just watched a couple of movies, including rewatching Flash Gordon, which is always fun when somebody else hasn't seen it, and we had a couple people who hadn't, so that was kind of fun. That was pretty much it there, yeah, and I've seen a lot of movies, and I have played a couple video games, but we should start with Last Jedi.
Okay.
How are you feeling? So you've seen it a couple times.
Yes.
All right. So you probably have formed some more serious opinions.
I liked the film. I would say that, to me, we watched the film, then we watched Force Awakens at home, and watched the film again. And what I would say is that Force Awakens is a film that's trying to get you to feel things, and it's very successful at it, as far as I'm concerned. And Last Jedi is a film that's trying to get you to think things. And you have to enjoy them in a completely different way, in my opinion. And I would say I enjoy them both equally. It just... Mm. Just differently, right? I watched Last Jedi, and I enjoy it for the things it's talking about and the themes and the things it's trying to wrestle with. And I like Force Awakens because it's nostalgic and it's fun and it, you know, makes me feel certain sentimental things.
Still, I was surprised at the number of parallels. I mean, everybody talked about Force Awakens was in a lot of ways A New Hope done a little different. There was a lot of Empire
in
Last Jedi. Now, at a certain point, it took a hard left. But there was a lot of it, and I was kind of surprised by that. But I think some of it may be the sort of cyclical nature of this, but I don't know. I liked it fine. This one really drove home for me that this isn't my Star Wars anymore. I think that's part of why there's a lot of... Well, there's more detailed reasons as to why, but I won't spoil anything. But I think, in a larger sense, that's part of the reason why there has been some pushback on this one, is I think there's a generation of people who are like, this is not what my Star Wars was like. And to me, I'm like, this is the next generation. This is for the next people. Like, I mean, I'll still go see them, although I don't know if I'll bother with Solo. We'll have to see. Depends on how cool Don Glover is in it. But this very much felt like this is for my nieces and nephews who are way into Star Wars now, and this is a different story, and it's not my thing. And to be honest, you know, I've never sworn by Star Wars anyway. But yeah, I very much felt that, like, you know, enjoy it, but very much as not so much a supporter as just a, you know, tacit audience member, more so than the ones in the past. I'm also really coming to terms with the fact that not only do you have to look at Star Wars as a fantasy movie, you kind of have to look at it as a children's movie. Just because a lot of the thing... This one tried hard. I noticed this one had a lot more stuff that felt political rather than moral. But it still just simplifies so many things. And there's just so many holes in the story that you can only think of if you're like, oh, it's a kid's movie, you know? But it was fun. It was gorgeous. They came up with some really cool effects in places. Well acted.
I was personally pretty shocked by the fan reaction. Specifically the negative fan reaction. There's been a lot of positive fan reactions.
No, and there's some very specific reaction. There's some very specific reasons for it. And I think certain things have come to light that make me understand why. I still don't agree with it, but I understand sort of the... But again, I think it's the whole, like, this is not where I wanted my story to go. And it's like, well, it's not... I mean, really, it never was yours, but it's really not yours now. This is the next step. And there's also the big thing that Rian, what's his name, who made this, was given nothing in particular from Abrams, and Abrams is doing the next one, and Rian's not involved. And so this whole thing could just be short-circuited by Episode 9. I will say this. This movie really makes me miss the Episode 9 that we'll never get because Carrie Fisher died.
Oh, gosh.
So much. I was very... Kidding. This one really brought to light. I'm like, damn it, I would have loved that movie.
Yeah. Me too.
Also, there are certain major characters that have their own arc separate from the rest of the story in this, and it wasn't until I was leaving the theater that I was like, oh my god, by the end of that arc, everything they did was absolutely pointless. And that was weird. Like, literally, like, if they had been taken out of the movie, the end result, down to the smallest detail, would have been exactly the same. But again, I don't want to spoil things.
Ryan Johnson was kind of penned in, I think, in a lot of ways, by not just by what J.J. had done, but I think Disney had some goals. I don't know with this specific movie necessarily, but with the trilogy in general. And again, I don't know if I can talk about those goals without it being spoiled.
Yeah,
no. But I sensed in the first film and this one some very specific marketing-oriented goals.
Yeah.
That it was going to have a very particular impact on the story and how it was told.
They also they hyped up that Phasma was going to have a bigger role. I still felt Phasma was really underutilized in this film. To the degree that she shows up late enough that I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. So that was disappointing.
Yeah,
but,
I agree with that.
But also some surprise people I did not know were going to be in this that did some great performances. And some people I'd never heard of until this movie that did some great performances. So that was fun.
I told my brother that I thought the Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics was probably about 10 points too high, in my opinion. But the audience score was...
Well, the audience score was very specifically sabotaged, basically.
Yes, I read some of those things, and my opinion about a lot of those scores was that... I mean, people were giving it zero and half stars and things like that, who I can just about guarantee, if you knew these people, and you were sitting at their kitchen table... And you ask them how the film compared, even with all of their hatred for it, how the film compared to, say, Justice League. And then look at what they rated Justice League.
You'll see,
no, they obviously did not think that this was a zero or half star.
Thing. I mean, I saw people who said because of exactly one thing in this movie, they're worse than the prequels.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, fuck off.
But
that I know it's all subjective, but that's objectively not true.
Right. But even given that, if you feel that way, well, what did you give the prequel?
Yeah.
Well, I gave the prequel a 6. Well, why are you giving this a 0?
Yeah.
I mean, these scores were completely out of spite.
It was a deliberate, concerted effort too.
Yeah.
But what I really love is it just keeps getting funnier and funnier. One of these guys made a change.org petition to ask Disney to officially remove it from canon, as though that would ever happen. And then he finally sobered up, I guess, or, you know, had a good night's sleep and realized that was ridiculous and apologized, and they turned on him so fucking fast. They were like, Disney bought you out, you traitor. And I'm like, oh my God.
But I mean, if you read that change.org petition, it sounds like he wrote it while he was drunk.
I couldn't bring myself. A lot of people signed it.
Hilarious.
I honestly find all change.org petitions hilarious because I have yet to hear of one that made a difference ever.
Well,
it is a place to vent your frustrations in a petition shape.
Well, there was one particular thing that, I mean, if you've seen it, or you've paid attention to what the response has been, there's one particular thing that everyone's screaming about.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I honestly had no idea what they were talking about. I did not. I thought, what? Really? And what was interesting was...
Tread very carefully.
So I had to do some research, but everywhere I looked, all it said was people had a problem with this and never explained why. Like, it's so obvious they didn't have to explain
it. Yeah.
And I had to look and look and look and look to find what is wrong with these people.
Yeah.
And when I finally found out what people were saying or what they thought, I still can't. I mean, I understand it. I mean, I understand the words they're saying, but I don't get how they come to that conclusion, honestly. I really don't understand.
I have things to say about it, but I can't without spoiling stuff.
Yeah.
So, I will say, on a potentially unrelated note, I think, well, no, maybe I hadn't mentioned because it was too late. I had most of the big spoilers spoiled for me beforehand due to some stupidness, partially on my part and partially on some website's part. But I will say things were handled in such a way that it wasn't a problem. I mean, also, they say, you know, psychologically, you enjoy stuff more when it's spoiled for you. But also, just the nature of this, things were spoiled, but how those things came about were not what I expected, and they were done in such a way that for a little while I was like, maybe the things I read were wrong, and so there was still a lot of, like, suspense and stuff in there, and that was interesting.
Yeah, the only problems I had with the film were just the normal problems you have with a film, like, well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
that,
it's Star Wars, so it's awesome, but it's also really,
really
dumb.
Which is why, when it all is said and done,
Elon Sleazebag, yo.
It's still as good a movie to me as Force Awakens was, to me. So
yeah, I could buy that. I think, like I said, it just pointed it out to me more. I think I was very caught up with Force Awakens in new Star Wars. And it was like, because I remember just being shocked. I'm like, this is a new Star Wars movie that I'm watching on the big screen. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I think this brought home that the whole thing, including Force Awakens, like I said, it isn't for me. It's the next generation. And sadly, my generation was really the prequel generation, which is sad. Because I fucking hated those. But I also got to talk about three other movies.
Okay.
That's a problem. Some of them I can go through quick. In fact, we'll go in order of how quick I can do them. First one, last night, saw a movie called Landline. It's an Amazon original. You can watch it on Amazon Prime for free. We had seen a trailer a long time ago. It looked very interesting. It's a sort of dark family comedy, very dramedy sort of category, about a family in the mid-90s living in New York and issues with relationships and things like that. What drew our attention is the cast consisted of people like Edie Falco, John Turturro, and Jenny Slate. And we are fans of all of those people, and so we were very sort of excited for this. Watched it. I was fairly disappointed. It wasn't bad, per se. I just didn't care. Like, and I didn't like any of the characters. That was the thing. But more than that, like, the story was just uninteresting to me. I was just like, I don't care where the story's going. And I didn't, the point where they stopped the story, I'm like, I don't know why that's the ending point either. Like, it just was a thing. And also, it tried distractingly hard to be mid-90s. Like, it kept throwing in references that I'm like, no, you pushed that one too hard. We get it. It's the midnight. But, like, they tried way too hard. To the degree that it took me out of the story occasionally, because I'm like, yeah, 90s. Caught it. Yes. Oh, yeah, that was a catchphrase then. Oh, that was a TV show that was popular at the time. Yes.
So, like, Stranger Things then.
little bit.
That's what I don't like about that show.
But I would say it's even a little more packed in. Oh. Because Stranger Things, each one is a nudge and a wink. This one thought it was being cool about it.
Okay.
It's like, no, this is just how it is. And I'm like, no. They do not sit around and just arbitrarily talk about Mad About You for a couple seconds. And then remind everybody that it's part of Must See TV. That was a thing. I'm like, no, I get it. Not everyone on Halloween had to dress up as specifically a mid-90s pop character. Like, yeah, no, it was silly. They had a joke about a CD skipping, and I'm like, yes, I remember CDs were what we used in the 90s, and they did skip sometimes. Yeah, it was just pushing too hard. So I don't have much to say about that. Another one. We finally watched Get Out. I can't remember. Have you seen Get Out?
The
Jordan Peele one?
I thought you'd seen it before.
No, I had read the thing because I was too scared to
watch. Oh! No, yeah, we saw it.
But too many people have, like, I'm like, I sort of shouldn't miss out on this.
Yeah, we did see it.
And so we did see it. Loved it. Nothing really new to say about it. I am in a position, and this is the damn thing again, I shouldn't be the one saying this, it's the woke white guy thing. Like, a lot of people really liked it. And it's a very good horror film.
Yeah, it's really
good. I highly recommend it. And it's not, if you're like, oh, I'm scared of horror movies, this one is pretty tame on that level. You can probably watch it. It is scary in places. There is gore in places, but it's limited. But here's the thing. I'm worried too many people just think of it as a good horror film and not the, albeit unsubtle, heavy-handed, but very dead-on social commentary that it is.
Well, it's clever. I mean,
It absolutely was, but I'm worried that people are not going to get the point.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mostly that white people are not getting the point. They're just like, oh, that was a cool bad guy you made sort of thing. I'm like, no, this whole, well, as Jordan Peele said, this movie is a documentary.
Well, you know, I think...
It's being put as a comedy in the awards and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that is me knowing how it ends. I'm watching it, and I told Trish, I'm like, she didn't know how it was going to go, and I was like, I would almost recommend watching it a second time, because there's a bunch of stuff that you think is funny, but when you know how the movie goes, you realize that's all chilling as hell.
Yeah.
Like, all the funny bits are not funny if you know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it's not subtle. There's not a whole lot of subtext in the movie. It's a very straightforward, strong discussion about race relations and about white folks and the various ways that they deal with interacting with black people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's interesting. I think there's a lot of interesting archetypes in it, and we actually discussed that some later.
Yeah.
But it's also done in a very clever horror movie thing, and you can absolutely just take it on that level, and I'm worried that's what people are doing.
Hmm.
I don't know that I have anything to base that on. I'm fucking white people, you know?
Hmm.
So, but I'm like, see this movie and understand what it's saying, because it is saying something very serious and very disturbing, and I think very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Oh my God, somebody's going to take this word for word literal and think I think some really weird shit after this. little hyperbolic when you say it's a documentary, but I mean, there's a reason why you still say that. Anyway, okay, so we're down to two. No, we had Force Awakens, so we're down to one. We're down to my favorite. We saw Bright.
Mm-hmm. We saw that too.
You saw Bright.
Yep.
I almost recommend seeing it if you haven't seen it, but only if you don't listen to what I'm about to say. Not because I'm going to spoil anything, but because the movie sucks. Kind of surprisingly so, and it's really entertaining if you don't know that's what's going to happen. Going in knowing it sucks, I think it might not be as fun, but this was just so hilarious, and it's such a heartbreaker, because so many things about this had the potential to be really good, and it is just shockingly shitty. Like, and apparently, people need to stop hiring David Ayer to do things.
Well, I don't know. Max Landis isn't a genius either.
He has moments. But here's the other thing. Max Landis wrote the script. David Ayer immediately rewrote it.
Oh, did he?
And the sequel that is absolutely fucking happening?
Yeah.
Written and directed by Ayer.
Why did they greenlight that before anyone had even seen the movie?
I don't know.
I mean, any audience people.
Will Smith is a draw. It had Will Smith. It had Noomi Rapace, which, if you blink, you'll miss that. It had Joel Egerton, who apparently is a good actor. I had not personally dealt with him before.
Oh, yeah, he's good and stuff, I think.
And it was, and honestly, it was well acted overall.
I thought so.
The basic idea of the urban fantasy thing, very hot property right now, very cool. I personally love urban fantasy,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's not just, you know, a waifish girl having to choose between a vampire boyfriend and a werewolf boyfriend, as so often happens with these. And this is not that. But it's just so shit. It makes no sense. The mythology is so generic and disjointed from itself. It ostensibly has layers about race relations and police brutality, but it deals with them in the most ham-fisted ways imaginable.
Yeah, calling it layers is even being generous.
Oh,
it's more like a...
Also, why the fuck were Ike Barinholtz and Margaret Cho in this movie?
I don't know. It's not imaginative.
They did fine, but why the fuck were they there?
I don't know what...
It does that usual thing where it's like, we have this alternate history going back thousands of years, but in the present day, there's like three things that are different and everything is exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Everything is named stupid. There's an old, dark, powerful lord called the Dark Lord. He never has a name. there are magic wands that show up in the world in places. They are called wands. Stuff like that. It's atrocious. And it costs $90 million. And it's and there's so many questions. Like, so many reviews I've read are in the form of, here are some questions I immediately had about this movie. Like, it is a walking plot hole. It is absolutely, every scene makes no sense in relation to every other scene in the movie. And everybody involved in the acting did really well, including people I would not have expected it from. But there was just nothing there. Oh my God. Also, there was, visibly at least, I mean, there were a lot of people under orc makeup, but visibly, there was exactly one black woman in this movie. She was a stripper. And I mean, there were hundreds of people in this movie. I'm even counting extras. There was one black woman in this movie. She was a stripper. That drove me insane.
Well, but that gets to the whole thing I kept having a problem with in the movie was, well, as you pointed out, alternate history, all this
other
stuff.
Yes, and the orcs are black people.
You know, whatever,
and the elves are rich people.
Whatever you want to say about how different it is or whatever, at the end of the day, it's just what you just said. It's right now, and make all of the black people orcs and all the rich people, elves, and you're done.
Yep.
There's nothing more interesting or more profound.
No.
Or more... In fact, if we're treating this as a... I mean, it barely deserves the name metaphor, but if we treat it as a metaphor, it's not profound, it's not interesting, it doesn't...
Also...
Why even make a movie like this?
What little mythology there is... stumbles through just these exposition dumps.
Yeah.
It is the epitome of tell, don't show. Just throughout. Just every once in a while. Like, just about the time you've spent about 20 minutes saying, what the fuck is that? Somebody shows up and says, by the way, do you remember huge backstory thing? And they're like, yeah, I know that. I'm not stupid. And you're like, oh, that explains that, sort of.
Well, it's like, look at Get Out, for example. There's something that says something about race... or says it in a way that might resonate or that might clue in white people in particular, you know, where they about things that they might not, they're not going to typically think about. So here's a Get Out is a film that does something that actually advances the conversation is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
This doesn't advance any kind of conversation about race or status or
tell a coherent story.
Or inequality or anything.
So
it
much
doesn't,
shit. So
it acts like it's trying to do that, but it doesn't do that.
I guess spoilers? I don't even fucking know.
I don't know what
you mean. So, humans hate orcs, and at least one person's reason is apparently 2,000 years ago, the orcs were on the Dark Lord side, and that was shitty. But, of course, it was 2,000 years ago. And then later in the movie, we find out that the person who joined all the nine races together and who is basically the surrogate of Jesus in this alternate history was a fucking orc. So I'm like, how did you decide which part of history you were going to pick there? Like, oh, because they were assholes. And remember, we all had to get together and defeat them. Yeah, apparently an orc is the one who did that. Also very confused about it. What it means for an orc to be blooded.
Yeah.
Because apparently it just means some dude over on the side looks at you and then cuts themselves.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, holy shit, what was that about? Not sure who... There are centaur cops.
Yeah.
But we just see one, like, in the background.
Yeah.
I said, that was one of the fun... They were like, do centaur cops have footlockers? What does that look like? Like, how does that even... There are dwarves. We never see a dwarf in this entire movie. No dwarf. They mention dwarves. Never see a dwarf.
Oh, did they mention them? I don't
they
remember.
They did. The mob boss orc who just had... He told his backstory, and I'm like, wow, you're a shitty person. Like, he was trying to tell his very simple, I'm a good guy kind of backstory. I'm like, the story you just told me is that you're, like, a horrible person. Also, the big, I guess technically there's two twists. One of them, we totally didn't see coming. During that same scene I'm talking about, we kept going like, why do they keep focusing on that one orc that's not saying anything?
Yeah.
We were like, why do we keep looking at him?
Yeah.
He's not doing anything. So yeah, we totally missed that one. But the big twist... you will figure it out as soon as you know enough mythology to understand what the term means. But as soon as you know enough to know what the title of the movie is, you will know what the big twist at the end of the movie is.
Yeah, I guess that was a big
twist. Oh my god. And it was just so... Because of course it was. Like...
Well, I mean, I didn't consider it a twist because I saw it coming from pretty much
my way. No, but you have to consider it a twist because nobody in the movie saw it fucking coming.
Oh, yes, right, right.
So therefore it's a twist. Everyone watching the movie saw it coming.
Yeah.
Also, oh, I fucking hate myself, but like three or four times near the ending section of the movie, I had to yell out, is this an Inferni stronghold or a Shield of Light stronghold? Because I honestly don't know. Not that it fucking matters, but those are diametrically opposed things based on, and I'm like, I can't tell from the backstory. And I feel like it should matter.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't really.
I'm also still so many questions about the little elf girl involving the marks on her that made no sense. Why the pools made things better. Why Noomi Rapace is in this movie and has like four lines? Oh my god. The elf terminators didn't make a lot of sense. Every once in a while, they get very buddy cop with it, and weirdly, those were some of my favorite scenes, but they were so out of place in the rest of the film.
I thought those two actors had a good chemistry when it came down to it.
Yes, but it didn't fit with the rest of the movie. There were a couple of times, especially near the end, that I was like, that's fun. But it was like for 30 seconds, and then I was like, what the... Also, it introduced me to an actor that doesn't mostly do English language stuff, but I'm very curious about now, the guy who was the head of the Magic Task Force. Because they have a magic task force, by the way. It's called the Magic Task Force. That's its title. That's it. But the head guy there, he was intriguing to me, and we were like, do we know him? And we looked him up. He's from, like, Argentina or something, and he does a lot of South American film. Very little English film. But I'm like, I want to watch out for him. But then again, he chose to be in this thing.
I'm just not even sure what the pitch was for this.
Oh, are you kidding? As long as you left out a lot of details, I could pitch this movie.
How? What would you say?
This is an alternate history thing where we have all sorts of fantasy races around too, and we've got an orc, and orcs have been looked down upon. People are prejudiced against orcs as stupid and things like that, and unable to function like humans can. And we have an orc who wants to be a cop, and so he's the first one ever in L.A., and it's a big deal, but he has a lot he has to face against, and then a fucking adventure happens.
You forgot anything about the elves and the 1%?
This movie forgot everything about the elves. They mentioned the elves several times. The elves didn't have shit to do with shit, except the Inferni, and there's no reason the Inferni had to be all elves.
But the only... It seems to me the only purpose in telling a story where you're going to...
The sequel, we could have been all about elves.
The only reason to tell a story like this is, you know, you're going to set it in a kind of a fantasy situation, you know, to subvert certain expectations or to get people to think about something they might not normally think about. Not just to take the world we live in right now, just make the key players look different.
Yeah.
And then expect people are going to like it.
Oh, no,
like
no,
it's
no.
Something different.
No, that's totally a thing. A lot of huge movies are just the same fucking story. My version is you're outcast, but then you make good and you prove to be the best one and all that, which has been done in 1,000 movies. Some of them are really well received, some of them weren't. But I mean, I'm not even saying I could make it into a good movie. I'm saying it'd be easy to pitch to Hollywood.
But here's what I'm saying. What if...
I'll put it this way. When I heard about the movie, I was excited for the movie.
For Bright?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
As I got closer, I was less excited.
But for example, they could have figured more out about where the orcs come from, why they're thought so ill of, and
because 2,000 years ago, man.
And they could have, instead of just have, in every single way, they were just stereotypes of urban black people.
Yep.
They wore hoodies. They listened to certain kind of music. I mean, all this stuff, they could have been anything different. They could have...
Well, that's the thing. I haven't seen it, but I feel like this movie was a lot like Suicide Squad.
I don't know. Not really. But, I mean, they could have been people who, like, you'd... Who you've got whole sections of the city that have been sort of torn down because they want to build these mud huts
or
something.
You could have given them a culture?
Yeah, exactly. You could have given a very distinct culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very different from anything else. And
could have done that with the elves, too.
Yeah, exactly, with the
elves
also.
Instead of literally just putting them in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. They're just humans, basically. Some have pointy ears and some are a different color than black or brown or whatever.
Yep.
So, what? You know? What?
Also, the orcs, for having ridiculously mottled skin, all looked exactly the same. Like, it was so hard to tell the orcs apart.
Racist.
And
you're an orc racist.
I am an orc racist. Dude, 2,000 years ago...
Well, and see, that's another thing is, you're going to have elves, you're going to have orcs.
And that's what, like, when it first came up, the guy was like, they sided with the Dark Lord. And I was like, oh, this is intriguing. And then Will Smith is like, why is everybody worried about something that happened 2,000 years ago? And I'm like, that's a good point, Will Smith.
That's a really good question.
So why does this movie exist then?
You've got elves and orcs and humans living together, but it seems like...
And dwarves and centaurs.
Right.
And whatever the one in the strip club with the weird eyes was, we saw her for a second and then never talked about her.
But it seems like human culture is what everyone kind of has chosen. You know what I mean?
Because everything's exactly the same as it would be without these. Yes.
Exactly. There's no influence.
And you don't mention that part in the pitch.
I don't know. I just didn't even understand why the film was even made. It just didn't make any sense.
I love urban fantasy, and you could have done so much better with this. I've seen better than, like, usually a story is not movies, but I've seen very...
Well, yeah, but usually the interesting thing about an urban fantasy is how does this particular kind of creature or being or whatever cope with us?
Yes. It's a variant on the mutant superhero thing.
Sure.
It's the... If a society has this weird thing that, but not if this society had big teeth and weird skin. Also, fairy lives don't matter today.
Yeah.
Fuck you, movie.
Yeah, that was.
Fuck you.
I didn't like that line very much.
And Will Smith said it. He should know better. Jesus. So that thing sucks. But it's kind of amazing to watch it suck. So if you want to watch it for that, Trish keeps trying to fuck with me. She's like, if you had to watch a ghost story or Bright again, which would you watch? And I'm like, Bright, absolutely, because it wasn't boring. A Ghost Story was boring as hell. Bright still sucks, but I won't fall asleep. I'm like, don't get me wrong, A Ghost Story is probably a better movie, but I wouldn't want to see it again. Okay, video games. Oh, I should pause real quick to say, no, I haven't worked on the new draft of the book at all, because I suck. And partially because I'm really into a video game. So, I finished Infamous Second Son. It was a pretty satisfying end. It was definitely easier than the older games, so... But it was neat. I enjoyed the game. I'm glad I played it. I'm done with it now. And then I started Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. Because... A lot of people didn't like the game, to the degree that it's getting no single-player DLC, and I seriously doubt it's ever getting a sequel. And, I mean, some people apparently came out really glitchy at first, and that's a thing.
Pretty glitchy, yeah.
But they did sort of patch that up, and I've encountered one major glitch, and I managed to get around it. But a lot of people disliked it because... And even people who liked it agree this is a thing. They said it's a very different vibe and a very different tone than the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that at all.
Really?
This, to me, absolutely feels like Mass Effect. Just, like, straight up play. I mean, it's a different story, obviously. But this absolutely just feels like a Mass Effect game to me. And I also, even though I say it all the time, forgot that Mass Effect's my favorite fucking series ever. Fucking love this game. I'm having a great time with this game.
Well, that's good. I mean, my wife did too. She's one of the people that felt like the vibe was a little different.
Well, that was what you said, because you guys liked the game,
but
you were like, it feels very different. And I'm like, I don't think it feels different.
Well, it didn't.
It's about the same level of dark versus like light kind of vibe.
Okay.
The technology has improved, a lot of their set pieces are more detailed and interesting. There's, again, you're driving around in a six-wheeled thing a whole bunch, but the worlds are not just flat desert where there's nothing for miles and then you encounter one wrecked satellite or whatever. There's shit going on.
Yeah.
I am terrified, and you can assuage some of this for me, because it's not continuing. Do they leave a lot? Like, is there a cliffhanger? Do we leave a lot unanswered? How much resolution am I going to get?
I don't remember. I mean, wow. It seems like... I mean, it seems like it had a pretty satisfying... I don't recall it having a cliffhanger at all.
Good, good, good. I thought they were going to turn it into, like, hopefully another trilogy, and now that won't happen. I'm like, shit. Because I'm really interested in this world, or rather, this galaxy. Okay. Also, really fun to hear Kumail. I knew Kumail was in this game. Mm-hmm. I forgot he's in it. It doesn't help that he's voicing a dick. Guy sucks. Already, I did my first outpost on my first planet.
Oh, okay.
And now I'm supposed to go back to talk to him. I'm like, oh, god damn it. I told Tristan, I'm like, I gotta go back and talk to Kumail. I hate that guy. Yeah, the mechanics are different, but a lot of the mechanics were different from each game in the previous system.
Sure.
The battle mechanics are pretty similar to what they were, and I like that. That is my level of shooter. That is my level of, like, squad-based shooter, is Mass Effect. That's how involved I like it. So I'm digging it. I'm having a great time with it.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, my wife did too, like I said. Thought it was a little different vibe, but she liked it, so.
Yeah, I need to wait more. I mean, I'm going to need to wait till I finish it, but then I want to look up a lot of things about what people had to say.
I think it's one of those games that you can keep playing when it's done, so I think...
That would make sense.
I think she played it for a long time after.
Well, there's a lot, because there's a lot of, like, base building and crafting and stuff going on.
I think she played it for a really long time after it was done. Liked playing it.
And they got me. I mean, it's not... In the first Mass Effect trilogy, I think in the second game, you are inside a dead Reaver at one point. That was so impressive to me. I was legitimately, like, scared and uncomfortable during that section. They did it so well. It wasn't the same vibe, but when I was underground on this first planet, there was still that sense of, like, oppressive, like, it was spooky and stuff, and I really loved that feeling. It really put me in the moment. There is a lot of ludonarrative dissonance in the game. When you go into ruins that have not been seen by any living thing since before humans even made it to the galaxy in question, it's weird to find boxes carrying the kind of ammo you use.
Yeah.
Also, I met all the scientists on the Nexus. And then, because I was pretty sure they had a quest to give me, I went and talked to them again, and each of them started by complimenting me on the feedback and telemetry they'd been getting from my trips abroad when I had not left even once yet. So there's a few things like that, and a couple times where, like, the Codex tells me shit that the person the Codex is talking about has not told me yet. That gets a little weird, but, you know, that happens in these games, and it's fine. I don't need it to be that immersive, but... Yeah, very excited, really enjoying it. Kind of pissed that I'm recording a podcast instead of playing it right now.
Oh, sorry.
I've managed to find a way to sneak in a date night last night. That's how much I enjoyed it. We have, like, 8 minutes, so we should probably grab something out of the hat. I knew this was going to happen because we had so much to catch up on, but... There you go, anyway.
Okay, smart guys, figure out if a hot dog is a sandwich. You know it's Azure Talon.
Yeah, because you just told me. Have you been participating in this at all? The internet really got into a thing about this a little while back.
I think you mentioned it before.
Yeah, it was a big thing. And it was bad for me because my hot take on the issue was that it is not. But then I saw... Somebody put together a grid basically talking about how you define a sandwich and what that means. And, like, well, if you define a sandwich this way, then this thing must be a sandwich. And I'm like, but that's definitely not a sandwich. So I can't define a sandwich. And based on that, I think a hot dog had to be a sandwich. I don't know. What is your feeling on this? Okay, I'm going to help you out here. This is... You know how people ask, like, a would you rather, and you're like, oh my god, I can't cope. And we're like, fucking guess? as I think we've talked about, I think we've talked about before, and somebody famous came up with this, but the less clear-cut and more subjective and, I think, critically unimportant a position is, the more fiercely people will fight for it.
Really?
And it's because we're not idiots. It's because if I'm sitting here going, well, who should we vote for president? Like, there's a lot, or like abortion. Abortion's a really great one. Like, are you pro-choice or pro-life? And you know, people will pick a side, but there's like, it's a complicated issue. There's a lot of things to consider, and it's a very big, it's an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stuff. If the debate is toilet paper overhand or underhand, it doesn't fucking matter. So you can fucking die on that hill. You can just open it, which I have. Overhand that, is the one.
That
overhand.
Strikes me as opposite of what would be true. It doesn't matter, so why would you die on the hill?
Because people like being able to really commit. It's fun to be able to say, no question, this is my position. I'm never going to say that about abortion.
Sure.
Spoiler, I am pro-choice. But I don't just like to say, I'm just pro-choice. Like, there's things involved, and there's considerations and stuff, and that's where I eventually fall out.
But you feel stronger about which way the toilet paper goes on the roll.
No, I like acting stronger about it. I like, here's the thing. Because it doesn't matter,
yeah.
You can't argue me wrong. I'm fucking right. And the reason is, it doesn't fucking matter. So for me, I'm absolutely right about this.
But the other person is too, really.
Yeah, and so then you can fight because you're both confident in the knowledge that you are right. But I am absolutely right about the toilet paper thing because the original patent for the toilet paper holder has drawings, and in those drawings, toilet paper is overhand.
So you're an essentialist.
Because I used to argue this before I ever saw those drawings. Okay. I just feel like that's the final straw. Where do you stand on the toilet paper thing?
I don't even put my toilet paper on the roll. It's like sitting
actually,
on the counter.
Actually, we don't anymore because the fucking cats go after. We hide it now. For a while, we had it on the toilet, just like sitting on the toilet tank. Yeah. But then Addie would eat that, so now it's hidden away. But no, just in terms of what is right. See, my in-laws are die-hard underhand people. And I don't even think they feel strongly about this, just what they do. Whenever I'm in their house, I change it. Every time I use the bathroom. And somebody in that house fucking cares because I got a new roll one time and I put it overhand and like 3 hours later I used that bathroom and it was underhand. So somebody cared and I changed it back. Because damn it, I'm right. And it's the same thing with the hot dog sandwich thing. It does not matter. So it's one that you can really be like, oh, my position, because you're not hurting anything, you're not like it's terrible to be that way about like the death penalty. You can't be cavalier about the death penalty.
Okay.
You can't be cavalier about abortion. I can absolutely be cavalier about a hot dog being a sandwich to the degree that if I wanted to, I could suddenly switch and be just as shouty about the other side instead.
But it's not just that it doesn't matter, it's that words can have whatever definition a person wants it to have. If a person thinks that, you know, protein sitting inside bread, whether it's two slices or not, like a Subway sandwich, from Subway, at least they used to just cut out a little hole
and
fill that with stuff instead of cutting it in half.
That's a pro sandwich argument there.
And they still called it
a sandwich.
Everyone
and
still
most
called
people
it a sandwich.
Would not. I mean, a bunch of people are going to joke.
So what I'm saying
call
is
that crap. But
what I'm saying is, if that's what a particular individual thinks is a sandwich, well then a hot dog's as much of a sandwich as anything else. But if someone says no, you have to have two pieces of bread or two pieces of something together, like a hamburger's a sandwich because there's the bottom bun and the top bun or whatever, then that's their definition of it. And why should I say they're wrong just because they define sandwich differently than I do?
Because it's fun.
It's not fun.
It is.
To me.
Well, okay, what's not fun to me is to have a discussion about abortion.
Here we go. Well, me neither. So
I
don't have those either.
People who are like, or pick anything. It's not fun for me to have a discussion about anarchism and libertarianism.
Okay.
Because it's a serious thing. And like, if I have a bit, I'm like, oh, I feel passionately about this. I may jab too hard at you and, like, make you feel bad about it, or make you angry because you're like, no, you idiot, it's like this.
It sounds like people get angry about this,
though. No, but it's play fighting.
Oh, okay.
It's play fight. Well, okay. It should be play fighting. Everyone I've ever known to argue this should be play.
Should be.
I
just
genuinely,
joking.
Like, I'm not gonna lose relationships over the toilet paper thing or the hot dog thing.
Okay.
It's a fun argument. It's slightly less serious than the Oxford comma, which Oxford comma for life, motherfuckers.
Okay, I get it.
I think Oxford comma very seriously.
I think I get it.
An affect versus effect, also.
I think I get
but
it.
But so, sandwich or no?
I would categorize it that way, sure.
See, I don't want to be a pro hot dog sandwich person.
Why?
I feel like I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't. Because in my head, because that's my immediate thing. I'm like, hot dog, that's not a sandwich. It's hot dog. And I'm also like, it's part of the sausage family, and that's a different thing. But I don't know. As time goes on and people argue the case, I might say a hot dog's a sandwich. I feel like we might lose listeners over this. But I feel like that's where
well,
I fall.
Well, besides that,
spectrum.
What happens when you open the bun and it tears open and you've got a bottom and a top?
Well, then it's just
dog.
A tragedy. I fucking hate that.
I do too, but it happens.
I absolutely hate that.
Is it suddenly a sandwich?
It's just sad at that point.
But is it suddenly a sandwich?
Well, no, because we're saying it's a sandwich beforehand. To the non-sandwich people, if you are non-sandwich, non-hot dog, if you say a hot dog is not a sandwich, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and explain to us, first of all, why a hot dog is not a sandwich. That's your first thing. And second of all, if the bun rips, does it become a sandwich? Because I think some people are going to argue that it's not about the bun per se, it's about the shape of the hot dog.
Well, you know,
I don't know for sure.
You know, when I was a kid and we ran out of hot dog buns, my mom would take the hot dog, split it in two, and put it on bread.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
now
yeah.
It was like just a...
For a lot of us, just didn't even split it and put it on bread. Those always sucked.
But is that a sandwich now or is it still a hot dog? Because of the shape of the hot dog.
That's a crime against food, I think.
You keep changing... You keep changing the frame.
It's fun!
It's not fun. It's ridiculous.
No, here's the thing, and this is a tricky one for you. This is an argument that has no consequences. It's the Calvin ball of debate.
Oh, I see.
There we go. Oh, God, I'm going to do everything through Calvin and Hobbes now. Sorry. It's the Calvin ball of debate. You can change the rules on a whim because it doesn't fucking matter. And then you can argue about how to change the rules, but too bad. Then they argue back. Like, whatever. Like, you can just change it.
Okay.
Like, to the degree that you can be like, that's not what I said at all. What are you talking about? Like, every stupid thing that you've seen people actually do in an internet argument, you can just do it with impunity because, what, we're talking about a fucking hot dog and a sandwich. Come on. But
maybe,
yeah, so
maybe
it's
these would be funner to watch than to participate in, I don't know. Or maybe I need to watch a few to understand how to do it.
I don't know. I'll have to see. Actually, I can help you with that. There's a video where this came up, when they used to do the Cracked podcast live, there's a video where they talked about these very kind of things. And it's funny because some person had never heard the concept and they're like, I was thinking, why the hell would that be true? But then as soon as you mentioned the toilet paper one, I found myself going, well, of course! It's like this. And that's the thing too. It doesn't matter, but most people also have an automatic reflexive action because it's what they're used to.
Mm.
So like if you ask most people, is a hot dog a sandwich? Either way, they tend not to pause.
Hmm.
They tend to immediately have an answer. And it's just because that's whatever their head has categorized it as.
Hmm.
But so you immediately... Very few people don't have an opinion immediately. Everyone acknowledges it's dumb, but they're still a like, gut thing.
Huh. That's interesting. You know, you could write a book about things that people have an immediate opinion about that don't really matter.
Let's
I would read that book because I would like to know what those things are. I'm not sure how many of those I have.
Let's see first if I can just write a book.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens. All right, people, we are shutting down for the night here because it's very cold and we have to go into our cryogenic pods, which at this point are just tubes outside because they don't have to be sealed because it's really fucking cold. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us your hot dog views and your toilet paper views and other topics. That's what I really want. Give me other things that fall into this category of like, it doesn't matter, and so everybody has real strong opinions. Because I love these things.
That's interesting.
and Best Star Trek Captain is another one. And I know you've got
I've heard of that one.
But it's the same thing.
I do
thing.
Have an opinion, but I know it's just my opinion, like, so I would never argue
about it. It
doesn't
become serious unless you're talking about, like, the writing of the captains. And even then, it doesn't really matter because it's a goddamn TV show. And it was multiple TV shows that had multiple different influences and were, like, there's no way they can relate even.
That's right.
But people have real strong opinions.
That's true.
So we love you guys, and we will talk to you next week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.